The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, a third of Generation Z apparently now choose Speedos, that's right, the old budgie smugglers, over other forms of togs. And this comes, this news, the statistics, the week that we learn Speedo are moving their headquarters to Dublin. Well, who better than Speedo enthusiast Simon Tierney to talk to us all about the history of the skimpiest of garments. Where did it come from?
Well, the Speedo is actually, unbeknownst to me before I started researching this, it's an Australian-Scottish hybrid.
Right.
Which is the oddest thing.
Yeah.
So it was started by a Scottish
migrant. Like the city of Perth or something.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Actually, there is a lot of cultural crossover between those two countries, Perthshire and Perth. But Alexander McRae, very Scottish-sounding name, he found himself in Sydney, sort of at the beginning of the 20th century, and he set up a business in that city, knitting socks for troops, for the Australian troops in World War One. And afterwards, he invested his profits into the business and he started making swimwear. And this was a period of great sartorial change, as you can imagine, Kieran. At this time in the late teens and going into the 1920s, the idea of exposing too much of your skin when you were on the beach or when you were swimming was very much frowned upon. And Alexander McRae and the Speedo Company, as it would soon come to be known, played a really, really important pivotal role in changing our understanding of what is acceptable beach attire.
So what did the original Speedo look like? Did it look like the Speedo we think of today?
No, certainly not. The original Speedo for men looked like what women often would wear in a swimming pool nowadays. It's called the racer back. This is a garment that goes over the shoulders like a tank top and then it goes down under the gusset and happy days. It was skin tight, so it showed all the contours of the body, which was a new thing because previously the woolen garments before this hung loose so that there was no suggestion of the curvature of the body to encourage any sort of licentiousness. And this was used by men, but everything changed, I suppose, in the late 1950s and 1960s. And this is when the Speedo, as we know it today, was born.
What were they called, those original kind of what we call them, women's togs, but worn by men? Were they called Speedos?
No, they weren't. They were called, it was called the racer back.
Okay.
The Speedo name came from an advertising slogan at the time, which was "Speed on in your Speedo." If you put that in an Australian accent, it sounds a lot more catchy.
Speed on in your Speedo.
Yeah, exactly. and then they decided, that works really well. So okay, we'll call it Speedos.
So late 50s, early 60s, what begins to happen?
Okay, so they hire a ceramic artist. This is quite bizarre. Quite a famous ceramic artist. He only died in 2008, I think, by the name of Peter Travis. And he single-handedly designed what we now know as the skimpy brief Speedo that is becoming more and more popular. And his brief, or his mission was actually to create a pair of shorts which would be used for surfing. But what he did was he went an entirely different direction, and he realized, as a surfer and as a swimmer himself, that you wanted a garment for swimming that didn't twist when your body moved in the water. Now, if you can imagine, at this time, all swimming costumes went right up over the navel and covered the whole middle part, the whole torso of the body.
Yeah.
So the idea of creating a garment which stopped at the hip was really revolutionary. And the proper Speedo, like those photos I tweeted earlier, someone like the divers in the Tokyo Olympics, they really stick to the hip. They don't go anywhere above it. And
there's a bit of a builder's bum to some of those divers at the
Olympics.
Very
dangerous. Yeah, there is. Dangerous. But the reason why that is cut, why the garment is cut like that, is because the hips don't twist. the torso moves, and if you've got fabric there, then it's twisting with
everyone
your body.
Everyone at home is doing what I'm doing, yeah. Twisting their upper body.
And that's thinking, why it's so low. It's just right on the hip there. And Peter Travis, when he designed it, like he realizes now that there's, you know, it's become this kind of cultural icon and an object of sort of mockery in some quarters. But he originally said that the Speedo was designed quite practically, not with fashion in mind. I realized you shouldn't have anything around your waist that would twist when you swim. The only way you could stop that would be to end the cut on your hips. It's designed as a purely functional object.
So this was a case of form following function, as the architects would say. What was the initial reaction to this skimpy little garment?
Well, it's interesting. Men first started wearing this in 1961 on Bondi Beach, which is a beach that I have had luck to visit myself a few years ago. It's kind of now famous for being a sort of a parade of beautiful bodies, both male and female. And in 1961, when men started wearing this Speedo, there was an infamous beach guard or beach inspector by the name of Aubrey Laidlaw. And he famously summoned the police when he saw gentlemen wearing this outrageous costume. And they were arrested for indecent exposure.
No way.
Now, the case was thrown out by the judge because apparently they weren't showing any pubic hair.
That was how they determined
That's how you determined it.
Oh, wow.
He had
okay.
the measuring tape out.
They have, you mentioned the Olympics. I suppose now most of us don't wear Speedos. Well, a third of Generation Z are wearing them again. But for a long time, they went out of fashion, except with elite sports. They stuck with them.
Yeah, definitely. One of the photos I posted earlier was of Mark Spitz, one of the most decorated Olympians of all time. And he was a classic Speedo wearer. You know, in the 1968 Olympics, in fact, which he won a huge amount of medals in, 27 out of the 29 gold medal swimmers that year were all wearing Speedos. Now, I had a quick look back there. The Tokyo Olympics just gone. Mm. I don't think any of them were wearing Speedos.
Well, they're wearing the kind of the skin tight leggings to
exactly,
the knee.
Kind of to the knee. Yeah. Now the divers, of course, do wear them. Tom Daley famously wears them. Gold medal winner in this Olympics. He was asked by Graham Norton once about why he has to wear them just quite so tight, and he replied, "If you're spinning around, the last thing you want is to have something come out of place." And when you hit the water, you don't want things flapping about because it would hurt. Good advice, Tom.
Good advice, Tom. And a great little cultural history as well for us of the Speedo, given how popular they're becoming with Generation Z. Simon Tierney, thanks a million for that. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Stay with us here on The Hard Shoulder today. Plenty still to come, including more great driving songs.